do not be afraid. I am an angel. I know you're expecting a halo, or wings, or maybe even a glow. But you need to understand something. I am also a warrior. I'm ready for service. I stand in the presence of God. As one of his messengers, I've been sent to speak to you. In times past, I've been sent by God to speak judgment, to remind Israel of their covenant with God, and to rebuke them for their disobedience. But today, I bring good news of great joy for all people. I bring news that a baby will be born. He will come from Bethlehem, and though it is the smallest clan of Judah, he will become the leader over all Israel. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This is the glory of the Lord, and it shines all around us. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I said, I stand in the presence of God. And he wants you to know concerning this child, every knee shall bow before him. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Do not be afraid. Rejoice.
Welcome to the Voices of Christmas.
Hey, good morning, Crossroads. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to see everybody. Hey, my name is Brian. I'm a lead pastor here. Really glad you chose to be here with us today, especially if you're a guest. Welcome to you. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. In fact, we have an area specifically for you. It's called Merge, right at the top of the stairs outside of the Nightingale Coffee area. It's a chance for you to merge into traffic here at Crossroads, and we'd love to hear your story. So if you'd be willing to head up there afterward, we'll have some people up there would meet with you and just hang out. Now, this is a chance normally during our service when we give our offering, but we've recently changed how we do offering, and so we no longer pass anything in front of you because we don't want to guilt you into anything. We actually want you to do it joyfully. So we have three different ways that you can give, and the three ways are one, online, crossroadsgrace.org/give. You can also give on our app, which is a fantastic resource for you. Crossroads Grace, the app, it's a free one you can find on all the different sites. And then the other way is you can give is there'll be offering little receptacles as you leave here today, and then also as you leave on the side doors, there'll be some there too where you can give. So we just want you to consider doing that as you give toward Crossroads. And as we get toward the end of the year, we also want you to consider that you have end of the year giving that you have opportunities to do. And I know some people really like to do that. I'd ask you to consider the local church. There is no greater influencer than the church when it comes to the lives and the souls of people around us. And so you are investing in other people's salvations by investing here at the church. So if you would like to, we'd love to be able to have you give an end of the year gift. And you can do that before January 1st, before it starts again. And then you have to wait till next year for the tax credit. The last thing to let you know about is tonight we do have a business meeting. That's going to start at 6 o'clock here at room 208, which is upstairs in CSM. If you'd like to come and hear about this next year's budget and kind of where we're going and how we're getting there, you're welcome to do that. We actually have copies of that out on the guest information desk you can take a look at. But again, there is no food, so you have to come with your bellies full, but we'll have lots of spreadsheets, so that'll be fun for you to be able to take a look at. So business meeting tonight, 6 o'clock p.m. if you want to join us. But we also have this little thing called Christmas Eve coming up. Really want to make sure that you know exactly what's happening with that. And you guys stepped up in a huge way last week when we asked you to sign up to serve. We're asking you to serve at one and worship at one. And last week, you guys did huge, huge job of getting those, a lot of those areas covered. So inside your bulletin is just a modified list of the remaining areas that we need assistance with. So if you want to take a look at that, one area is the Kids City area. Some of you kind of didn't sign up for Kids City because you're like, I don't want to teach kids. And frankly, we don't really want you to either. So what we want you to do, though, is to help, though. You can help those kids. So when you check off there, you're going to be assisting the teachers. It's an easy way to get involved and help the kids. Number two, you can help us with our facilities, just keeping it clean and in one piece. We have to do service every weekend here, so it's nice that the building was still standing. You can help us do that by signing up for facilities. And then thirdly is our parking lot team, otherwise known as make sure everyone is waving with their full fingers all at the time, right? That's the goal of that to do. So we want you to be able to be our frontline person out there, helping people find a parking spot. You're the first thing that they see when they come in. So we believe this is such a huge, huge ministry to be a part of. Consider signing up for that. When you do that, check off what you want to serve in, check the time that you're going to, a little bit of information at the bottom, and then as you exit today, there'll be some baskets. Slip those in those baskets, and then you'll be able to get rocking and rolling. We'll contact you, make sure you're taken care of. Now, if you didn't know, we have 8 Christmas Eve services to choose from this year, starting on December 21st, which is Thursday at 7 p.m., then jump to Saturdays, 3, 5, and 7, and then on Christmas Eve itself, we're modifying our Sunday times, so 9, 11, and 1, and then a special one at night, 11 p.m., at night, kind of like a candlelight service. It'll be a different message than the other 7 were. Have a special guest artist that'll be here to do music. It's going to be really great as we usher in Christmas together at that service. So excited about that. Consider being a part of it, but make sure you're inviting people. Last week, we gave you some cards to take with you. Really nice cards. It says, do you hear what I hear on the front of it? And then on the back is the service times. We have plenty more of those if you want to grab those and invite people with them. It's a nice thing that you could actually even frame and keep up year to year. We wanted to design it in a way that you could do that. These are something that you could do. I've also seen people wearing those black t-shirts around, which I just love, doing them all over the place. I wore mine yesterday almost the whole day until someone called me out and said, let me get this straight. You worked out in the t-shirt and then lit your entire day in that same t-shirt. That's nasty. And to which I had to say, I did. Yeah, I totally did. Yeah, I Febreze my pits as much as I could, but it was nasty by the end of the day. But that's what I did. Get out there, tell some people about it. But the way that we want to give you a new way today is that we've been in the past, have done this thing where we allow you to pay for other people's coffee. And we do that by loading up a Starbucks gift card that we have on our Instagram account. And so what you'll do is when you go into the Starbucks drive-thru, you'll pay for yours. And then at the end, when you get ready to leave, you say, hey, can I pay for that one behind me also? And you use that little, they'll scan that barcode, we'll put some dollars on there, and then that's the way you can pay for them. And then all you have to do is give them this business card and say, hey, just tell them to have a Merry Christmas when they come and get their coffee, and you drive off. That's it. Now, you could be really a gem, and as that total starts getting down, if you want to keep the love going and put it on there, that's great. We'll only continue it as long as there's dollars on there, but it's an easy way for you to invite somebody to church and to pay it forward in some cool ways. Another thing you could do is grab some of these business cards, and as you pay for your meal this week, just put it in that little tray that they give to take your debit card, and that's a way that you could let people know about it. Or just pick up a handful of them, go on the top of a building, and throw them off, and then just let them off. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. Invite people to them. This is an easy way for you to do it. Next week we'll have another one for you, but the key is be inviting people. We have 8 of them. We want to fill those services so they know about Jesus. Enough of that. Let's talk about our service this week, which is week 2 of our series called Voices of Christmas. And the Voices of Christmas is this cool thing that we're taking all the voices that we hear at Christmas, pulling them out one at a time, and listening to how they affect the entire story about Jesus. Last week, we had an awesome time with that, and we'll talk a little bit more about it in a second. But what I want you to do today is look in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. We'll be looking at a lot of different spots, but Luke 1, Luke 2 is where we'll land. So if you have your Bibles, or if you want to open up your Crossroads app, all of those scriptures are going to be there. You can take notes and follow along with me. Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. While you do that, let me, again, unpack last week's message where we started. Week 1, we looked at way back at some of the prophetic voices pointing to Jesus hundreds, if not thousands of years before he was even born. But what I loved about it was that it showed that Christmas was not a new idea, that Christmas has been around for a really long time. It's an old idea. This idea that this coming Messiah had been talked about so long that it's a wonder that anyone missed it. But in reality, there was very few people at that manger scene, wasn't there? And the reason was that they weren't listening to the right voices. The world wasn't. See, we live in a world that has lots of voices to choose from that we can listen to. But it doesn't mean that we're always listening to the right one. And the sad part about that is sometimes we will miss the voice that we're supposed to hear right in front of us if we're not careful. So U2, right in front of you, and you didn't even know. Like, you didn't even know that, right? That's in New York. We don't care about that. But it was in U2, right? So 2,000 years ago, there was something that happened right in front of people that the entire universe didn't even know about. In fact, the creator of the entire universe showed up, and no one even, let's just say a few people noticed that he was here. In fact, if you weren't careful, you would miss it. If it wasn't for the voice of a single angel, it still might be a secret. And that's why this week we're going to look at the angelic voices that we see at the Christmas story. And what you might be asking is, what in the world do the angels have to do with Jesus' story, you might think. And it turns out they have a whole lot to do with this story. Because when it comes to angels, we really get things messed up, though, if you think about it. We'll call our girlfriend angel. Like when we get really old, we'll call that waitress angel, you know. And then so when someone dies, we say we have a guardian angel. Los Angeles is the city of angels. We even have a team called the angels here in our state. I mean, it seems like they're all around us. But what role do they really play in the Christmas story? What role do they play? Because there's no getting around it that there was angels all over this story. Every time we turn around, there was an angel as a part of the Christmas narrative. Mary got an angel. Joseph had an angel. John the Baptist's dad had an angel. The wise men had an angel. The shepherds had an angel. It's like Oprah Winfrey's favorite show, you know, like you get an angel and you get an angel and everybody gets an angel. I guess everybody's is one. But what is with all this angelic activity? What do their voices have to do with the Christmas story? And better yet, what is the real function of an angel? What is it? So my hope today is after we're done that you'll have a better understanding of what angels really are, and hopefully you'll have an understanding of how important they are to the Christmas story. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 2, start in verse 8, and we'll find our first reference here that we bump into. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior was born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" So, like I said today, I want to help us to understand angels a little bit differently today. And so my friend, Pastor Drew Sherman, he did a great work on this subject, and he's actually identified three things that we need to think about when it comes to angels. And really, it's more about things that I want you to understand that angels are not today. So the first thing I want us to consider is that angels are not, they are, I want you to think warrior, not choir members. Think warrior, not choir members. And that's hard to do, really, because when we think of angels, we think of all kinds of goofy things. We think of this, you know, and maybe we think of this little porcelain doll you see at Hallmark, kind of creepy thing, you know. Then there's the chubby angels that don't know what to do with themselves. And then, of course, there's Chris Angel. Like, you just never know what it's going to be, you know. That's weird. Get him off. His one eye's freaky. Okay, let's just get that thing off there, okay? Well, I hate to burst your bubble, guys. I hate to burst your bubble. They're not sweet, chubby little angels that play the harp and float on a cloud. And they're not a creepy magician that has a show in Vegas. They're none of those things. That might be the popular opinion. But when you see in movies and paintings and sculptures and figurines, they just don't have it quite right. I mean, angels are depicted in so many different ways. I mean, in the Christmas movie, A Wonderful Life, that angel named Clarence is there to teach George Bailey about the value of life, and he's compelling him to try to earn his wings. And then in Saving Private Ryan, there's those angels that are called, they're tank busters, they're B-51s. They're called angels on our shoulders, that's what they call them. And then according to Disney, there's angels in the outfield that are helping that poor team down in Anaheim win some games somehow, some way, I don't know. They might have just bought an angel from Japan recently to be a part of their team, but they're everywhere. But that's Hollywood. That's not real life. And what about the famous angelic vocal cords? We hear all kinds of stuff about that, don't we? The Bible says that angels sing. And we have loads of songs that we know by heart that sing all about it, you know? Like, "Angels we have heard on high." "Sweetly singing o'er the plains." That's what you should have done, you bunch of punks. Jeez, old Pete's. One job, just sing the line. That's okay, all right. But there are scores of other songs about angels, too, that you don't know and won't sing. Like, there's tons of them out there. We get that. But the bummer is that the angels at the Christmas time, they didn't sing. Take a look back at Scripture. Verse 13 says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. See, angels really don't sing all that much in the Bible. They might shout praises to God, but in the Bible, you won't find evidence of angels singing like boys to men. Like, you just don't see it that much. But somehow, we've aligned angels with singing. That's what we've done. You know, that your grandma's going to tell you that you have the voice of an angel. No, you don't. Her hearing aid's just really bad, you know? I've heard some of you sing. You're not angelic, okay? And then the Hallmark stores, they're decked out with angels singing their porcelain, you know, porcelain hearts out. And honestly, the sound of an angel that I love the most is when they break the sound barrier at the air and water show, the blue angels. Like, that's sweet. Like, that's a sound I want to hear. But in the Bible, the voices of the angels didn't invoke any sweet, sugary feelings that we think that they do, but the voices of angels actually brought about fear. That's why in the Bible, the first two words that you most likely hear from an angel are, fear not. Author C.S. Lewis describes it this way. He says, in Scripture, the visitation of an angel is always alarming. It has to begin by saying, fear not. But our view of an angel looks as if we're going to say, they're there. See, angels are not necessarily consoling, but they're really kind of scary. Just ask Zechariah, for instance. Zechariah in the Bible, he's like a pastor in the Bible, but in that time he was called a priest. And one day he was minding his own business in the temple, kind of doing his duties, lighting some incense, when all of a sudden he had a visitor. And that's when Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 11, we read about this visitor that came to Zechariah. It says this, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready and prepare a people prepared for the Lord. Now that's a pretty amazing message if you ask me. That's like some crazy stuff. This angel comes to Zechariah, we'll call him Zach, like comes to Zach and he says, listen, I got a message for you and it's pretty intimidating, but don't worry. He says, Zechariah, you're going to be a daddy. In fact, you're not just going to be the father to anyone. You are going to be the father to the John the Baptist. And he didn't know, but his son was going to be a really big deal. And like we said last week, JTB was going to set the stage for Jesus to come into the world, just like the prophets had told him it would happen. And the angel wanted to make sure that Zach heard this voice and that there was no misunderstanding. So he's very clear in his instructions. But check out what Zach said to the angel. Check this out. He said, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? Right? So Zechariah is basically saying, yeah, that sounds great. But let's get real here, angel man. Like, I am a wrinkly old prune that takes naps while I watch Jeopardy. And my wife, Elizabeth, over there, she's not exactly doing CrossFit and spin classes right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, she is old, dude. Like, we're old. And then I love the angel's response to him. He says this. He says, the angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens. Because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Where's your precious moments, angel? Down now, Zechariah. You know what's up? He went all U.S. Navy SEALs on this dude. Zechariah found out that there's certain things that you just don't do. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't rattle the bear cage at the zoo. You don't make fun of Batman's tights. And you don't mess around with angels. See, Gabe wasn't like leading the choir. Gabriel was cleaning his gun collection and doing wall sits with 45 pounds plates on his legs. Like, he was a man, right? So when you think of angels, I want you to think of The Rock, not Justin Bieber. Like, I just want you to think that way, you know? Think of that. Angels were warriors that God had brought to help us, actually. He brought him to help us. Now, I also want to burst your bubble about something else here. It's this. You and I will never and can never become angels. It just doesn't work that way. We don't become angels when we die, nothing like that. But God wants us to be like angels, because it's not about being sweet. It's not about being perfect. It's about being a warrior for God. It's about having the courage to look people in the eye and tell them the truth. That's what Gabriel just did with Zechariah. And you may not realize this, but people around this time, around Christmas, they are looking for truth. And you and I might be the only messenger that they have of that truth. Guys, that's why it's so important for us to be inviting people to Christmas Eve, to be in people's lives, because statistics tell us that 90% of people will say yes to come to Christmas Eve if you would just ask them. So who are you inviting? Who are you praying for? Who are you going to be a messenger for God to? All right, so we get the fact that angels aren't choir boys, but they're warriors, okay? So what else you got, Pastor B? What else is in there? Well, let me tell you. The second thing that we see is that I want you to think wise messenger, not fearful ghost. Wise messenger, not fearful ghost. So flip back with me to Luke chapter 2 if you're there. In verse 8, it's going to tell you this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Terrified. But why were they so afraid? Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd be a little freaked out if I'd been spent months on end with the same sheep and a bunch of smelly guys with sticks, and all of a sudden the presence of God shows up, you know? I think I might need to Amazon Prime me some new drawers, if you know what I mean. Like, if that happened, you know, like, that'd be wig me out. I'd be afraid. And Mary was afraid, too. This little teenage girl probably Snapchatting with her friends, listening to Beyonce, minding her own business, when all of a sudden she hears the voice of an angel. I mean, she was afraid. She was afraid maybe of the angel, but potentially because of the message that he sent her, that you're going to carry the Christ child. In Luke chapter 1, verse 29, it tells us that she was greatly troubled at his words. Like, that's an understatement. I mean, that's some big stuff. Regardless of whatever message was coming to her, she was fearful. Everybody was a little unnerved when these angels came. That the shepherds were freaking out, Mary was troubled, and everyone else was terrified. Why? Why would they do this? It's because they might have saw a ghost. Because if they weren't intimidated by the warriors, then maybe they were intimidated by the fact that it was a ghost. I mean, it makes sense. Like some creepy guy comes out of nowhere looking like a ninja. I mean, that kind of ghostly. But that wasn't it. Because what they were experiencing was really the presence of God. It was the Shekinah glory of God. It was a sudden act of God with this bright, big, and it was scary all at the same time. But it was this great thing. But here's the thing. Angels aren't ghosts. Not even close. Angels are not ghosts. They are not dead people that get promoted. It's not what happens. Now, I want to be gentle with this, but I know a lot of people find a lot of comfort thinking that their loved ones become angels when they die. I hear it all the time. And I just want to tell you gently that's just not true. The Bible doesn't teach us that at all. So our loved ones that knew Jesus, they then join a host of witnesses that they tell us in the book of Hebrews, but they'll never become an angel. We will always be human, even in heaven. And here's why. Angels were created before we were. Long ago, even before God created the earth, in Job 38, we get a glimpse of this. God's having this conversation with Job about his different perspectives. In other words, Job's perspective versus God's perspective on this universe thing. And so God answers Job's a series of unanswerable questions. In Job 38, starting in verse 4, we hear a bit of this conversation. God says here, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning star sang together and all the angels shouted for joy." Angels have been here before we were even a twinkle in our parents' eye. They were here. God created these messengers not to be scary, but to bring news. In fact, in the Hebrew, the word for angels is malak. In the Greek language, it's angelos, which means messenger. Could be either human or non-human, a spiritual messenger of some sort. And these spiritual beings were used to remain invisible until now, but they were their goal was to be a messenger, to bring a message, to bring news. They were brought by God to help us. Now, most of the time when angels has a messenger, it's almost always good news. Anytime you hear a message from them, it's good news. Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." See, news almost always creates a reaction in us, doesn't it? I mean, let me give you some examples from our world recently. And I want you to think about the first thing that comes to your mind, to your spirit, when you see some of these pictures. So, for instance, when you see the Las Vegas tragedy, what comes into your mind? What comes into it? Is it sadness? Is it frustration? What about when you see Black Friday happening? Like, what happens in your brain when you see Black Friday? You know, a little bit of anger maybe comes in when you didn't get your TV or your pony or whatever it was that you're going for, right? Or what about when you see this picture and you know that this is a 102-year-old Holocaust survivor that met his nephew for the very first time? Like, just amazement comes in, doesn't it? Or how about this picture when the Astros won the World Series? Just absolute joy comes in you because the Dodgers lost. Like, oh my goodness, right? It's so great, my friend, isn't it? It's so great, right? All right, so great. But just joy, it brings news, brings reactions to you. And the same is true about angels. They bring news. Sometimes the news is sudden, like it was with Zechariah. Sometimes it's news that needs further explanation by Mary, but nonetheless, it's always news. And in this case, it's good news. And this is what the shepherds heard. They heard that it was, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. It was the best message of all because it was the good news of Jesus Christ. And now we call that good news the gospel. It's the good news that our sin is not the end of us, that we have a way to be complete again with God through Jesus Christ and his grace. And it started at Christmas, the gift that God gave us in Jesus Christ. But just like the angels aren't usually what we think they are, I think sometimes we get the wrong impression of what Jesus really is. My kids and I, we love C.S. Lewis's books called The Chronicles of Narnia. And one of our favorite books and one of our favorite movies to watch is called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And there's a scene in the movie where the children have a conversation about Aslan. And Aslan is this massive lion who plays the role of Jesus in the story. And in the scene that I'm talking about, there's these questions are being asked. And one of the questions are being asked by Lucy to one of the characters called Mr. Beaver. And Lucy asks, she says, is he safe? Speaking of Aslan, Mr. Beaver says, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. He's not safe, but he is good. I think we need to remember that around Christmas time. So many people just like to pat Jesus on the head like a little kid at Christmas. You know, we like to think of him as just this sweet little baby in a manger somewhere. And we'll sing songs to him and tell other people all that kind. We just want to feel really good, but we don't really want to worship him. People compartmentalize Jesus at Christmas at any other time in the entire year because they love Christmas Jesus. They love the away in the manger Jesus. They love the silent night Jesus. But actually following Jesus, the Jesus on the cross, the Jesus that says that you shouldn't do certain things, the Jesus that says, I want you to love me more than anyone else, the Jesus that calls you out on your junk, that Jesus, nah, we don't like that Jesus too much. We don't like him. We're not into that Jesus. And guys, listen, when that starts to happen, you start to hear that permeating our society, we have to be God's angels. We have to be the voice that reminds people of who Jesus really is. Yeah, he came as a baby, but never forget that he's the Lion of Judah. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah who came to save us from our sins. He's certainly not safe, but he is good. And y'all, that's the God of Christmas. That's the God of Christmas, the one that you and I worship. He's not a safe God, but oh, is he a good God. See, the angels' voices were a huge part of the Christmas story. They played this pivotal role in bringing people to God. But isn't that the message of the church too? Isn't that our job? To bring people to God, to be part of his plan. So let's be warriors. Let's be messengers for God, just like his angels. All right, one last one for you to think about. When you think of angels, I want you to think encouragement, not judgment. Think encouragement, not judgment. If you flip back to Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, we read about this. It says, the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." See, I think that although angels can be big and gnarly and they're warriors, and they know tons of information, I also think they can be really gentle. I think they know how to speak to those that might be a little bit gentler and need this message given to them in a different way so they can hear it the best. And it got me thinking of our soldiers, actually. Now, I grew up in Rapid City, South Dakota, and I was fortunate to grow up with a guy by the name of Ryan Carson. Now, Ryan grew up, and he became a senior master sergeant in the U.S. Air Force. And he has a beautiful wife, Angie, and three beautiful kids. But he is a soldier, you guys. He is a soldier. He is a man's man. Dude could shoot guns and track down bad guys, and he is all soldier. But at the same time, he has this unique ability to connect with people in the places that he becomes deployed at all over the world. You see, Ryan was blessed with the ability, an amazing gift of singing that has allowed him to connect with people of different languages, of different cultures. Even in the middle of war zones, Ryan is able to connect with him through his voice. So I called him up and I said, "Ryan, man, you got any stories in your time? Just tell me some stories, man." I could tell you all day stories he told me. But two really stuck out to me more than others. He recalled the time when he was at a small Air Force base in the Middle East. And these wounded soldiers started to come into the base, and they were starting to take care. It was over and over, and it was just become overwhelming. But he was handling that okay until they started to bring in the kids that were injured, and just terrible things. But before he could get overwhelmed too much with them, all of a sudden the U.S. soldiers started to come in. He came in, and they rushed him right by him. They took him right to the OR. All of a sudden, one of his superiors tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, Ryan, you sing, right?" Ryan says, "Yeah." He says, "Come with me." And he grabs him by the arm and he brings him right into the OR. And in there, on that OR table, was this man that had got hit with shrapnel and his face was all messed up and his neck was bleeding out all over the place. And he was possibly going to die. The man said, "Listen, the guy that's on that table, he asked for one thing." He said, "The only thing he wants is for somebody to sing Amazing Grace." He says, "If I'm going to die, the last words I want to hear are the words to that song." So my friend was able to give that gift to that man. Still has the smock of when he was in that OR with that young man, using his gift in order to connect with him. The other story I think was even more, it impacted me even more though. A story about when he was in Afghanistan. And when he was deployed in Afghanistan, it was the height of some of the suicide bombers that were going on. He told me that almost every day that there would be a car driving in or a person running in that was trying to detonate themselves and kill as many people as they possibly could. I mean, it was an intense, intense time each and every day, he said. He said around that time, though, he described how this little Afghani girl, little girl, had swallowed a battery from an IED and was starting to eat away at her esophagus and her stomach. And her mother knew that she was in bad shape, and so she did the only thing that a mother could think to do. And she wrapped that little girl in a blanket, and she started to run toward that base because she knew that there was help there. And as she's running toward that base, those men that are mounted in those towers and see her running, don't know if she's a suicide bomber or what she is. And so as they look through the scope of that gun, yelling at her to just stop, stop, stop. And she kept coming, stop, stop. And in the last second she stopped, she uncovered that little girl's face. And they knew right then that she was sick. And so they ushered her into the doctor and they're able to take the family in and take care of her and save her life. But Ryan said that one day when they were doing a concert on that base, he got a chance to meet that little girl. She's starting to feel a bit better, but if you notice, there's a 9mm on his hip. This soldier is down on his knees singing to this little girl. It just happens to be Life is a Highway for the movie Cars. She had watched that movie 3 days later. And she loved it. Her mom and dad are on the side just crying and crying. After he got done singing, he went over to the parents. He says, "What's wrong?" He says, "You don't understand." Through an interpreter, they say, "You don't understand." That's the first time in 8 months that she smiled and actually looked like a little girl because she's been through so much. But through his gift of his music and his song, he was able to connect with this little girl. Ryan will be the first one to tell you that he's not an angel, but I think he has angelic qualities. Ryan told me, he said that there's actually two types of power in the military. It's called hard power and soft power. Hard power is what you see most of the time. That's guns and missiles and brute force. And y'all, sometimes we need that. You need that without question. But he also says there's something important called soft power. He says it might even be that much more powerful than all of the other ones. He says it's the human side. It's the love side. It's the encouraging side. He says it's the side that takes care of people that sometimes makes the biggest difference. Guys, that is what a warrior angel is all about. That's what that's about. One that's tough, has a message to bring, but is encouraging when he needs to be. But it wasn't just around Christmas that these angels were encouraging. All throughout the life of Jesus, angels encouraged him. You might have remembered a time when Jesus had just got baptized, and then all of a sudden it says he was ushered out to the middle of the wilderness. And in that wilderness, he for 40 days fasted. And so at the end of that time where he hadn't had anything to drink or to eat, Satan comes and tempts him 3 different times. Tries to tempt him with all these different things to exert his power or to give power over to Satan so that he could have everything that he saw until Jesus had enough. And he says, you stop testing the Lord. And then we read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. Angels took care of Jesus. It's amazing how encouraging angels are in the Bible. Even nearing the end of his life, Jesus finds himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. Garden of Gethsemane is where he is praying and knowing that the cross is coming, that he will soon be betrayed by one of his friends, that he will be given over to the religious leaders. And he's praying, he knows that pain is coming, that death is coming. And as he thinks of that, drops of blood, he sweats drops of blood. But look who comes alongside him in Luke. It says this. He says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Strengthened him. Isn't that awesome? Angels are tough and they're smart, but they are so encouraging. You ever wish an angel would come and strengthen you when you're in trouble? I mean, I know I do. But then again, I just wonder. Maybe, just maybe, we've been around angels and we weren't aware of it. In fact, it's possible that we've actually heard the voice of an angel ourselves. It's possible that we've been encouraged by an angel. Because the author of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 2 says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. We dream of that, don't we? We dream of that. Who doesn't need or want an angel in your life? I mean, I think I've had those times in my life where I've been overwhelmed and exhausted, and honestly, I've just felt so alone. I bet you do too. And we just wish an angel would come and rescue us, or just at least come and encourage us. And in God's goodness, we see how angels are actually facilitate part of God's plan. That's how amazing they are. But as powerful and as amazing as these beings are, we need to know that we are more important to God than angels. We won't become an angel when we die, and Jesus didn't die for angels. He died for you, he died for me. And he did whatever he could to tell us, whatever it took to tell us. That's why I want you to remember this one thing, this one idea today, that God used all creation to proclaim Christmas to the masses. He used everything he could. He pulled out everything that he had so that we could hear this message clear. He didn't want there to be any question. He wanted us to hear. And the way he did that was through pronouncing he was coming through angels, and why it's so important for us to understand what he said. Because he told us that unto us a child is born. That's the message that Jesus gives us. That unto us the child is born, and that child was him. And he grew up. He did what we could never do, and that's forgive us of our sins. Which actually brought to my mind the angel that I think I love the most in the Bible. Matthew chapter 28, I'll introduce you to him. It says, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook. They became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me." Guys, that is the essence and the most important thing that we remember, is that when we come back for this time of communion and we remind ourselves of what Jesus has done, we have to remember that he sent a message, and that messages and news are given to people so that they might do something with the message. So our job is to be obedient and to listen to Jesus and to send that good news, that message, to as many people as we possibly can. He says, go and tell everyone you see that Jesus is born, that he has risen. Everyone. Guys, at Christmas, we need to remind people that Jesus is alive. That he is alive. And that he loves people. He loves this entire world. And it's our job to be that angelic voice. Because, my friends, there are people at this Christmas that need to hear the truth about Christ. There are people in this world that need an encouragement that only Christmas can bring them. And when we get a little bit nervous the next time, might we remember to fear not? Because who knows, there just might be a warrior messenger or an encourager from God on his way for you and I. But we must do something with what we've heard. See, communion gets us a chance to come back to the center, to back what is most important. Trays are going to pass in front of you in a few moments, and you'll find bread in the bottom and juice in the top of those cups. I want you to take both those out and hold on to them. If you don't believe in Jesus today, it's fine to let that go by. It's totally fine. But if you do believe in Jesus, might I ask you what this means as you look at what that represents? That Jesus came to this earth, and we said, unto us a child is born, Emmanuel, God with us. He lived and he worked in this earth and he ministered in this earth and he lived perfectly and he died, he was buried, he was resurrected. And upon coming back, the first thing he told us to do is to go and tell everyone. That's our job. So how are we doing that? How are we as Christ followers actually doing that? And who is it he's laying on your heart? If you don't know Jesus here today, you're here for a reason. And that reason may just be for you to hear the message of Jesus for the first time, to connect with him, to know him as your Savior, to not walk out of here with anything other than this Prince of Peace inside you. And that can happen today. I hope it does, because with him, all things are possible. Let's pray. Father God, we just love you. We thank you that you used all creation to bring Christmas to the masses. Lord, you are amazing. That you just chose that you didn't want to leave any stone unturned. You wanted to allow us to see it in every possible way. Through our mind, through our heart, through our spirit. Every way possible, we are led back to you. And that message permeates all things. It strikes at the core of who we are. So Jesus, would you speak to the core of who we are right now? If we know you, Father, would you just impress upon us who we need to be light to, who we need to be angelic to? Father, would you impress upon us, if we don't know you, that we need you as Savior, that we need Jesus? And Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know him, that they would simply cry out to you and say, Father, I need you. Jesus, I need your love and your grace. My life is empty without you. So, Father, please bring Jesus into my life. I accept him as my Savior. And Father, you tell us that in that moment that we are given Christmas, we are given rebirth, we are given Jesus. So, Father, would you allow us in this time of communion to remember you well? And might you press down on us where you need to press down? And may we listen, and may we be obedient, and may we act on what you tell us. We love you. We thank you. Be with us now as we remember you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All believers are welcome to commune with us now. You stand to your feet as we remember Jesus. As we stand in front of the presence of God, we remind ourselves of his Son and the sacrifice he made for us. This bread represents his broken body that was broken for you and I. We take and eat in remembrance of him. This juice represents his shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink in remembrance of Jesus. Now, before I pray to let us go back into this world that we're in, I just want to remind you that you are God's messengers. What you've heard is now up to you to do something with. And I pray that we can do that. I pray that we can be bold in what we believe. But I also hope that we can continue to put Jesus in the forefront of our minds here at Christmas so that when we tell people, we're telling them the truth. Now, next week, we're going to continue in this great series. It's going to be an awesome, another great service. In fact, let me give you just a sample to kind of get your brain thinking about what next week's going to be about. Take a listen.
Hey, Jess, I have news. Let's get together. Coffee Friday? I think I'm supposed to meet my mom on Friday. I'm with her now. Let me ask. Hey, Mom, are you okay if Donna joins us on Friday?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see her.
Yeah, and you have no idea what that's about, which is even perfect. So we'd love to have you guys next week and join us. But I hope that you can be encouraged this week and be out there. Be in this world because it needs the light. Let's pray. Father God, as we prepare to leave here now, we leave with you. Father, the toothpaste is out of the tube. We know too much now. There's no going back. So what we do with it now is important. So Father, help us to do something with what we've heard today. May we be the warriors. May we be the encouragers. May we be the ones that have truth in us as we leave here, that may we do it for your glory and not ours. Father, you are so good and so amazing, and we trust you now. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Have a great week. Tag, you're it.